you've all received these notes in advance. So are there any changes to the agenda that board members would like to make? All right. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second? We have a motion, a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Nerland was the second. Cedarburg was the first, just for the record, if some of our staff didn't catch that. Moving on to public presentations, this is time on the agenda where individuals who wish to speak to the audit committee on items that are not listed on the agenda can do so at this time. Anyone here wishing to do that? Seeing none, I'll close the public presentation section. We'll move on to item four, appointment of audit committee chairman and vice chairman for calendar year 22 and 23. I will open up nominations.
I would want to defer to Supervisor Quintero if he wanted to serve as chairman, and he's not here, so can we nominate him?
We can do whatever we want. This is sounds good to me. We have a motion, a second for Supervisor Quintero. And you know what? Let's do this. If the board's okay with it, we need a chair and vice chair. And who and what we can do is package it together. So what are your thoughts on vice chair? I like Cedarburg. I think he's good in that position. What do you think? All right, good. All right, so.
Chickens.
You've made the motion, Mr. Cedarburg. Are you okay with having Sal be the chairman? You'll be the vice chairman, and the seconder approves of that as well. We have a motion and second. Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this motion? Hearing none, I'll close the public portion, bring it back. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations to you both. Reappointment of Member Brar for term expiring December 30th, 2022 is the next item on the agenda. Is there anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? What's exciting for me is as soon as we take action on this, you know, it's official as far as I'm concerned, right?
Yes.
That's beautiful. So I'm going to close the public portion, bring it back. I will make a motion to reappoint Member Brar. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Look at that. Our quorum gets bigger and bigger. Approval of August 13th, 2021 Audit Committee Meeting Minutes. Any comments on the minutes from August 13th, 2021? None? Anyone in the public wishing to comment on the minutes? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion, entertain a motion for approval.
Second.
I'll take Brar's second. She was quicker. We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to our regularly agendized item, we have the consent calendar, which just one item, approved quarterly fraud report covering July 1st, 2021 to September 30th, 2021. Any comments about this particular consent item from board members? Anyone in the public wishing to comment on the quarterly fraud report, which is the only consent item? Hearing none, I'll close the public portion and entertain a motion for approval. We have a motion by Nerland. Is there a second? I have a second by Brar. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Action items. Item 7B, review and approve the Public Defender Department head transition report. And this will be presented by staff. Floor is yours, staff.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Carol Diaz. I'm the audit manager in the Financial Reporting and Audits Division. So we conducted a transition review for the Department of Public Defender, and we did it per Government Code Section 24051 and Management Directive 418. Part of this review involved examining cash, capital, and inventoryable assets under the control of the departing department head, as well as examining various forms, various conflict of interest forms for compliance. In addition, this review consisted of verifying that the asset certification form had been signed by both the departing and incoming department heads. The transition review resulted in two findings. The first finding was related to the department's inventoriable asset list. The list that the department provided was incomplete, as it did not include a specific information required per Management Directive 413.2. And these items were things such as the acquisition date, the cost, the disposition date, and the method of disposition. Our recommendation for the department was to refer back to Management Directives 413.2 and update their listing to ensure that the required information was included. And then we did get a response from the department that they will keep the list up to date and include all the information per the Management Directives. I think that was it for that.
Any questions for staff? Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Hearing, seeing none, I'll close the public portion and entertain a motion to approve or accept the report. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item C, review and approve public health department head transition report.
Okay, so this item was also conducted using the same procedures as the previous item. The transition review resulted in two findings. The first finding was also related to the department's inventoriable assets as well as their capital assets. The list that the department provided was incomplete, missing specific information required per Management Directives 413.2. In addition, there were two assets that were disposed, but the disposition date and method of disposition was also not included in the list. We did recommend the department to review and follow Management Directives 413.2 and 412.2 for guidance regarding the inclusion of certain inventoriable assets. We further recommended that the department excluded furniture items as part of their inventoriable asset. The finding related to the capital assets was due to the fact that there were 24 dispatch consoles that were not included in their capital asset listing where they should have because the assets exceeded the threshold amount for equipment. I believe each item was worth $15,000, and we did recommend that those should be capitalizable. We also recommended that the department work with CAO office to for guidance on the steps to take to properly record the assets as requirement as required by Management Directives 412.1. And I'm not sure if the department had any comments on that.
Well, we'll find out right now. If any representatives from the department are here, if they'd like to add some comments, that would be great.
My name is Bruna Chavez, Department of Public Health Business Manager. And yes, for the asset management and the capital assets, we have worked with the CAO and we'll be adding that. Okay. We will be adding that to the asset management. We're taking an item to the board to reclassify costs as capital cost. That's what we're doing. And as far as, do I need to address the other ones? Is there any questions?
And ultimately, all this has been submitted in writing as well.
Yes, our response to the auditors was submitted in writing.
And let's see here. And based upon those responses that we've received, is there anything lacking, or have you found that all the responses to some of the findings, there still are some issues.
No, we did talk to the department. They did say that they were working with CAO's office to include those assets into the asset management.
Perfect. So. All right, sounds good.
Anything else?
Any other questions from board members? Thank you.
Thank you.
The second finding was related to compliance. There were, when we reviewed the forms, there were several employees who did not fill out the forms, such as Form 4A, which upon our review, we found that 4 out of the 23 employees required to fill this form did not fill them out. And then after reviewing Form 700, 11 of the 23 selected employees were not filled out in a timely manner, and other 2 were not filled out completely. Additionally, Form 700 was not provided by the department for 8 of the 23 staff members that we selected for testing. So our recommendation for the department was to review their processes and procedures for receiving and reviewing the required forms, along with providing training to staff to ensure that requirements for their periodic compliance filings are met consistently.
Excellent. Any additional comments? Yeah, please, Paul.
I just had a quick question, and that was on the forms that were incomplete. What does that mean, incomplete?
There's certain fields of the form that need to be completed, such as like the signature, the date, and certain other fields that you know these forms have. And some of them were missing signatures. Some of them were not marked or indicated in. So those were the things that were pretty much considered incomplete.
I have kind of 2 branches of the question. It appeared that there's quite a few people, obviously, because of their contracting branch, that have to file 700 forms. Do you have any opinion about whether the scope of people listed for filing 700 forms is too broad or too narrow for that department?
For this department specifically, or just in general?
Based on your analysis of, you know, this finding, you know, we have you know, a lot of people that fill out 700 forms in some of these departments. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they've designated an appropriate group of people?
I believe so, just that when we selected the sample, these were the ones we did find that they were incomplete, but they do the department does provide us a list, and we select the sample out of that list, and we test accordingly.
And Athena Garcia, Deputy Auditor Controller. So that wasn't part of our scope. We can add, if you'd like, we can add that to our scope going forward, but at this time it wasn't part of our scope.
The one comment I would make is I know that the CAO's office and my office are working at more comprehensive ethics and conflict of interest training for all county employees, and part of that program will be, you know, taking a look at whether we have the right people doing 700 forms or not, and then whether there's other checks and balances we need for people high enough in the department. So just want to put that bug in your ear that that's coming. I think I've mentioned it to Oscar a couple of times. You know, when I see something like, oh, some people didn't even know, you know, didn't even turn them in, mm-hmm. I'm wondering whether we're going too far down the list of people to fill out 700 forms. You know, I don't want to be too narrow.
Right.
But we don't want to be overly, you know, broad, you know, too much so that we have a bad compliance problem just because people really don't feel, you know, have any control over contracting or anything. You know, with auditors and accountants, it's a little different because you guys handle every transaction. So, you know, your department might be different than some of the operational departments.
Yeah, we'd be more than willing to work with your department so that we can join efforts in that.
I have a question. Is there a specific format that you look in these forms? Does it have to be handwritten, or is it an electronic signature that you expect? Just curious as to what the
I think electronic signatures will work, and they're actually better because there's the date stamp to it, so that will be perfect.
Yeah, I do mine online.
But that is not a standard across. It's just
I don't believe it's a standard.
The department decides how they want to do it.
Right.
But as far as those forms are concerned, they're pretty straightforward, and if they've adopted the standard that those forms need to be filed, then they need to be completely filled out.
Correct.
You don't get to pick and choose which sections you fill out and which you leave blank.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully not. No.
So, with that, any other questions or comments? It sounds like there's corrective action that will be taken, and if the department would just like to state that for the record, that's fine.
Department of Public Health, Business Manager Bruna Chavez. And yes, to your point, we are actually participating in doing the looking over at who should be signing the 700. And I think you might be right. We might overly stretch that and include maybe staff that we don't, but we are submitting that item. And I believe it's going to the board in February when that item is taken to the board to review and address who's going to be part in completing the 700. So that's, we started that process. I think we've talked to several people to figure out, okay, what kind of training do we give our staff of standard, you know, and put checks and balances in our process to make sure signatures are signed, correct boxes are checked. So we are working on that, so that'd be great when that's part of the scope as far as, because we really are taking our who should be signing it and whoever's approving payments, yes, for contracts, yes, but that can go down the line to supervising account clerk. You know, so I don't know if that's too much, but we are going, we're going through that process right now.
Very good. Thank you. Whatever the law allows, you know, for me, follow the law. If there's something that's nebulous, talk to this guy to my left. He, you know, his office can be helpful. Sometimes they slow things down a little bit too, but that's their job. So with that, any other comments? No comments. Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? All right, I'll close the public portion, and I'll entertain a motion to approve the report. We have a motion by Member Brar. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye. 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 Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to item D, review and receive Fresno County IHSS Public Authority Independent Auditor's Report and Financial Statements for year ended June 30th, 2020. Staff, floor is yours.
I believe Eric Shin was going to talk
about
this.
He's on his way up.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me present here. The audit for in-home supportive services went very smoothly. We performed both financial statements audit and internal control over financial reporting audit for this year. The audit went very smoothly. There was no proposed audit adjustments or any internal control related findings. Also, we don't have any compliance or other findings during our audit. Do you have any questions?
It's pretty straightforward. Any comments from board members on that? All right. Thank you for your presentation. Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Hearing, seeing none, I'll close the public portion. Entertain a motion for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item E, review and accept the County of Fresno single audit report for the year ended June 30th, 2020. Staff, floor is yours.
I believe Eric. Okay, I'm sorry. Eric Shin will present this item.
Yeah, this is for the 2020 federal compliance audit for all the federal grants county received and expended money during the fiscal year 2020. Especially this year, we have the new coronavirus CARES Act funding, so it's a challenge. However, we were able to carry out the entire audit with the automatic extension from the Fed. You know, it used to be March 31st, was extended to September 30th this time. So we completed the audit. There's no material non-compliance findings during the single audit.
Excellent. Questions for staff? Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Hearing and seeing none, I'll close the public portion, bring it back. Is there a motion for acceptance, item E? Motion by Brar, is there a second?
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item F, review and accept the independence certification. Staff, the floor is yours. Oh, all right. Oscar, the floor is yours.
Oscar Garcia, Auditor Controller. Once a year, I have to come to the audit committee to say that we are independent, and this is what I'm doing now, and this is the form that's signed. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah.
How do you determine whether your auditors are independent?
They don't do that type of work, so therefore they're not doing the transactions. And they have to sign a form every year if there is some kind of independence issue. They would fill that form out and say, I have this kind of independence. They'd be assigned to something else.
Thank you.
All right.
Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Simple one page with Oscar's signature on it. Hearing, seeing none, I'll close the public portion, bring it back to the board, and motion for acceptance is in order. Motion by Nerland, is there a second? Second by Brar. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item G, review and approve Department of Social Services Food and Nutrition Services FNS-209 report for the quarter ended June 30th, 2021. Staff, the floor is yours.
Yes. So we did conduct this procedure for the Social Services Food and Nutrition Services, or FNSS-209 report. And it yielded no issues, so this item is good.
I like that. This item was good. That's all I need to hear. Any questions for Carol? Seeing none, anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? All right. Seeing none, I'll close the public portion. Entertain a motion for approval. We have a motion. Is there a second? A motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to item H, review and accept the District Attorney's Office Insurance Fraud Program Independent Auditor's Report and Financial Schedules for the year ended June 30th, 2021.
I believe this item is also for Eric Shin.
All right.
This is the third time. This audit is with the DA's office for the state Department of Insurance programs we received the funding from, and we want to make sure the program funding was recorded accurately and also the expenditures was used for the purpose of this program. So I'm happy to report that the DA's office was very supportive and so makes the audit went very smoothly, and the audit results is very clean. We have no findings over this small audit.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Hearing and seeing none, I'll close the public portion and entertain a motion for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to item I, review and receive the 2020-2021 First Five Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Now, the CAFRs, a little bit more involved. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Good to see you guys again.
Yeah.
And I wanted to start with this item is also good. Alex Hillis, Business Director at First Five Fresno County. Thank you for having us again this year. Before you is First Five Fresno County's audit report for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2021. I'm going to pass off the mic to our representative from our external auditing firm. But first, for context, over 20 years ago, the passage of California's Proposition 10 created Children and Families Commissions, known as First Fives, throughout the state of California. Per legislation, an audit is required to be completed each year, and it's also submitted, along with our programmatic annual report, to both our state controller's office and First Five California, our parent kind of agency. Additionally, based on Fresno County Ordinance, First Five Fresno County is required to present its annual audit report to the Fresno County Board of Supervisors, hence why we're here today. I'm joined by Osvaldo from our contracted and independent auditing firm, Price Page & Company, to provide a brief summary of our financial audit report. We're not doing art here, for a period ending June 30th, 2021.
Good morning, Chair Magsig and members of the Audit Committee. My name is Osvaldo Gutierrez from Price Page & Company. You can call me Ozzy. As Alex mentioned, we're here to present the financial statements for the First Five Commission. We've actually previously presented these to the Commission Board itself, and it's been accepted. One of the benefits of also having it in front of you here is because these numbers are actually included in the countywide financial statements as a component unit. So they're all rolled in, but they are shown separately. There are a lot of the normal procedures that we do, like Erickson mentions, clean opinion, no issues over compliance, and no issues over compliance related to the first five guidelines, because we test those separately as well. There is a nuance if you do want to look at note 9 related to the new markets tax credit. Long story short, there is a forgiveness of the loan related to the financing of the purchase of the building. So all of that activity has been reflected, and it's now showing on these financial statements. Other than that, a lot of it is very comparable to prior year. So happy to help answer any questions, or Alex or Luis here from First Five can help jump in if they need to. Yes. Oh, yes.
Anavina Garcia again, Deputy Auditor Controller. Just wanted to clarify, First Five is not a component unit of the ACFR. Or the county's ACFR. It used to be, but it does not. It no longer meets the criteria, so it is not a component unit. I just wanted to make that clarification. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of the GASB pronouncements do require a lot of looking at everything. We actually had that same analysis done here in this entity's audit, where something was not blended as a component unit, and it became blended. So I can understand how that happens when people take a more in-depth look. So I forget. I apologize. It is not a component unit of the county.
No problem. A question I do have, I think yes. It's on page 34. Net change in fund balance. You're showing a $10,871,629. Fund balance at the beginning of the year was $10,820,835 in the negative. So just, I guess my question is those large swings, was that just, talk to me about that.
Sure. So the first year, which was last year that we conducted this audit, we did what Nadina just mentioned. We looked at the arrangement between the First Five Commission and the Lighthouse for Children, which is a separate entity. It's a nonprofit. Based on the different criteria for analyzing component units, that entity is supposed to be presented as part of the First Five Commission entity itself. So there's a Lighthouse nonprofit, and then those numbers are now rolled into the First Five Commission's financial statements as a special revenue fund. So now that we did that, there is now the general fund, which is the commission, and then the Lighthouse special revenue fund, which is interrelated as it comes to the loans between the entities and the sharing of assets. So when you're looking at that, you'll see that there's a up and down related to the fund balance, but if you really want to look at the high level, like what actually are you looking at, it's the page 11, page 12. Those are just the high level combined. That's really what you want to, I guess, see at a combined level, the government-wide financial statements. The breakouts that you see on those pages are showing the individual activity by fund, so that's why you'll see a big negative and a big positive in between the fund balances, between the funds.
And is the negative on the Lighthouse due mostly to the liability for the loan?
Yeah, so there's a lot of the different accounting treatments that we had to have from the Lighthouse presentation on their standalone financial statements, but bringing that from FASB to GASB rules, which everybody here loves, right, the governmental accounting rules, the treatments of what's short-term, not short-term, and the presentation of fund balance can be a little weird to look at. So we did an in-depth analysis and worked with the commission to make sure all of those numbers are where they need to be. So by fund, it looks odd. I understand that. But in total, that's kind of the best way to help digest it all. So a lot of it has to do with presentation purposes. And if you look at the other entities' financial statements, it actually helps make sense as it stands by itself. And then this happens to be combined in a governmental format that makes it the way you see it here.
And does the forgiveness note you mentioned factor into this at all? Or
yeah. Okay. So the note 9 has a nice summary of what happened. And there is multiple components. There's the asset piece, the actual recognition of the building, which already existed. And the only thing that was new in this fiscal year was the forgiveness of the New Markets Tax Credit, the loan, essentially, for the purchase of the building. But since both of those entities are now presented, I mean, Alex can attest, we had our big whiteboard. We just had journal entries all over the place. So these are the end numbers of where everything should be. But the good news is that the actual forgiveness of the debt is presented here appropriately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions? Seeing no more questions. Anyone in the public wishing to comment on the financials? Hearing none, I'll close the public portion. Entertain a motion to receive the First Five Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for 2020-2021. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion, a second. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No opposition, so it passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is J, review and approve the 2022 Audit Committee meeting dates. There's just four of them. January 14th is right around the corner. I think that's the first one coming up. So does anybody have any? Yep, January 14th. Anybody have any issues with these dates? And obviously, if things come up, we can always make adjustments. And two, to Paul, I think it's important as we conduct our business here, since a lot of this goes before the Board of Supervisors, it's important to make sure that the minutes of what we've done here go to the Board of Supervisors as consent items at least four times a year, since we're supposed to have this meeting, I think, according to our charter documents, four times a year, so for what it's worth. All right, I think everybody's okay with the meeting dates. Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this? Yeah, just form a line to the left. Okay. Seeing none, I'll close the public portion. Entertain a motion for approval.
Move to approve the dates.
We have a motion by our vice chair. Is there a second? Second by Brar. My final motion, as your chair for the last 25 years, this meeting's adjourned.
No staff updates?
Well, let me wind that back a little bit. I was trying to get away without staff updates, but
he's going to say no, maybe.
Any staff updates?
Oh, I just wanted to add that member Manuel Villanova's term is expiring on December 31st, so we do encourage you to apply again.
Just get us another form. I think that members stay on until they're replaced. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's all I need to know. But don't delay that form. So after the 31st, get us that form. I don't think we can make an appointment midterm if there's not a vacancy. So just get us that form, post-date it, you know, January 1, and we'll have it on the agenda for the January 14th meeting. Shouldn't be a problem. Thank you. All right. So we have a motion and a second for adjournment. I'm not seeing any more staff updates.
No,
I make mistakes too. So just made one. So with that, our meeting is adjourned. There we go. Use the gavel for the first time, too.